Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
The views expressed on AM360 by the host, hostesses, or guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the community-wide Share Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific and personal medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to consult an advisor for your specific circumstances.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. نستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به عز وجل وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد أيها المسلمون. With Allah's name, the Merciful Benefactor, the Merciful Redeemer. All praise belongs to Allah, the Guardian Evolver, the Cherisher, Keeper, Sustainer of all the systems of knowledge, all the systems of science. We seek His help. We ask for His forgiveness. We put our faith and our trust in Him. Mighty and sublime is He. I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah alone, the one and only, there is none like unto Him. And I bear witness that Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to whom the Quran was revealed 1,445 years ago, is Allah's servant, messenger, prophet to all of mankind. We ask Allah's peace, His blessings, His highest exaltations be upon Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his family, his companions, the righteous all. On you, O Muslims, be peace. Assalamu alaykum. That is, may the peace that only Almighty God, Allah, the source of peace, the originator of peace, can give you, be on you. We wish the same greetings to our Christian family members, brothers and sisters, co-workers, neighbors. We wish shalom, which is the same greeting, peace, shalom, to our Jewish friends, neighbors, co-workers. And to our Jewish friends, our heartfelt condolences, our thoughts and prayers to you for the loss of your esteemed senator from California, the Honorable Dianne Feinstein. We want to greet our national community members that are joining us live on Facebook, now called Meta, YouTube, StreamYard, our Jummah conference line, and I'm sure we have with us on that line Imam Muhammad Abdullah, as always, my dear friend from Birmingham Islamic Center in Birmingham, Alabama. We welcome you. And we welcome our international community of Muslims, Jumeirah, as always, from Malaysia, Mujahid and Amina from Okinawa, Japan, Anwar Sultan, Hawaii, Sajid Ali Khan, I saw you again last week, my brother, our brother from Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. Riyadh is the capital of Saudi Arabia. And we are hopeful and prayerful that the efforts being made by Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, because this will be good for the Middle East, to normalize relationships with Israel. We pray for the success of that endeavor. And I really, really appreciate Sajid, our brother, our Muslim brother, the Crown Prince, insisting that the rights of the Palestinians be included in West Bank and Gaza. And he has sent his able ambassador, Brother Sudairi, to meet with Palestinian Authority leader Mohammed Abbas and others to try to solve and resolve the long, long-running conflict in Israel. So our prayers are with our brother, Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, and his team to try to bring peace finally to the Middle East. And as I said, I was really, and I wasn't surprised, but it was pleasing to me to see that in all the Muslims, I'm sure the Muslim leaders around the Muslim world watching, especially in the United Nations, to see if Saudi Arabia, and they did, would reach out to the Palestinians to include them and hopefully establish a two-state solution and solve that conflict in Israel. Greetings to family and friends in Bermuda, family and friends in the Islamic Association of DeSoto, Texas. I want to mention our new international viewers, and we get them every week, thank God, and thank you all for joining us from the international Muslim community, Brother Adonai Ishmael from Nigeria was with us last week for Friday prayer online out of Nigeria, Brother Ali Goke Musa Omanini, also from Nigeria, he was on with us last week. Brother Opal Richard from Central Ghana. Our brother from West Africa, Central Ghana, was with us. And Princess Zakia from Uganda. I visited Uganda once before in Teddy in Kampala back in 2000. So Sister Princess Zakia and our brothers, we are happy and honored that you joined us last week. Congratulations to our brother, General Charles Q. Brown, installed today by President Joe Biden as the next Chief of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the Chairman, pardon me, not Chief, the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. I mentioned his name last week, but he was installed today as General Mark Milley. Finished his term as the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. So this is history being made. Only two African Americans ever held that position, the late, great General Colin Powell, God rest his soul, and now African American General Charles Q. Brown. And that leads me right to my subject. From the Quran, give the good news to the believers. Give the good news to the believers. Well, we sure need a lot of that if this news and by our best. And now, in scripture, both Bible and Quran use this language, good news. In scripture, good news means something different than it does in the world. So we have news in the world, good and bad. And most of the time, most of our news that we're getting from the world through the media, social platforms, most of it is negative. Yeah, not positive news at all. It's not because they can't give us good news. Bad news, they say travel fans. Bad news, sell commercials, newspapers, sensationalism. So we live in a culture, particularly in the United States of America and other Western nations, but I don't think any place more so than America. We live in an environment and a culture where we're constantly bombarded, negativity, pessimism, nothing else. And I'm not saying they shouldn't report the news or whatever. For example, 500 mass shootings in America so far, and we still have 3 months to go. Well, we should know about that. 500 mass shootings, 30,000 people killed already in the United States of America? We have a serious problem. And the problem is guns. That's the bottom line. There's too many guns in the hands of people that are irresponsible. But that's negative news, bad news. And that news is constantly bombarding us, constantly, all the time. So Allah revealed to Muhammad the prophet, and before the prophets, Christ Jesus, peace be upon him, Christ Jesus is called a good news bringer. And what was the good news that Christ brought? Gospel. I don't know if you're aware that that word gospel, G-O-S-P-E-L, comes from a word that means good news, good tidings, good news. And what was the news? The message that God gave Christ for his people and also to benefit the world. And Muhammad the prophet, prayers and peace upon him, the prophet is also, Muhammad is a good news bringer. And Anabashirum, kul Anabashirum. Say, I am a, I know, translation. So you all out there listening, some of you all, I know, you're informed. I know the words that are translated there. Say, I am a flesh and blood human being and a mortal just like you. Yes. Chapter 18, for one reference, the chapter that we read or recite for Friday prayer, you all are not aware of that, is Surah Kahf, chapter 18, Al-Kahf. The key, the prophet said we should read it or listen to it or recite it every Friday, Jumu'ah. And it has 110 verses in it, I believe. The last verse is the one that says, Kula ana basharum mithlakum. Say, I am a flesh and blood human being, just like you all. But the other meaning for Besher is good news. Chapter 2, verse 25. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Wa basharil ladina aminu. You're a Besher. Wa amilu salihati. Anna lahum jannatin. تجري من تأتيها الأنهار كلما رزقوا منها من تمرة رزقا قالوا هذا الذي رزقنا من قبل وأتوا به متشابها ولهم فيها أزواج مطهرة وهم فيها خالدون صدق الله العظيم. God, the mighty, spoke the truth as revelation to Muhammad the prophet. Translating now from Abdullah Yusuf Ali's translation. Now, why do I mention that? Because there are many translations now, many English translations. So Abdullah Yusuf Ali is not the only one, but it's the one that Imam W.D. Muhammad, God granted the highest station in paradise, recommended and suggested to us with the best English translation. And yes, and I have a number of them translated in English, and this one is the best in my humble opinion. But give good news, translated glad tidings, Basha. Give good news to those who believe. Now, I said Christ Jesus was a good news bringer, but this is good news from Scripture, not the Florida Times Union, not USA Today or the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal or MSNBC, NBC. I choose not to mention others. And I'm not promoting any of them. What God is talking about and revealed to the prophet and what Jesus brought is different than the worldly information. Give good news, glad tidings to those who have faith, and they back their faith up. That doesn't say back it up. I'm giving you the translation. Well, I really saw it happen, because that's how it translates. And they work righteousness, or they do good works. So for us as believers, Muslims, Christians, Jews, and others who believe in God, we believe that faith is not enough only by itself to sustain us. No. And our obligation and responsibility and duty doesn't stop at the door of faith. We have to go into the room of good works. Give the good news, glad tidings to those who have faith, and they support their faith with good righteous works. Ah, what's the good news? And manakum jannah. That for them, they will have a share of the garden. In this life gone, and in the next life. Jannah means paradise for Muslims. Quran, Arabic, for Christians, you would say heaven. We wouldn't use Jannah for heaven. We say Sama'a, heaven. Jannah is heaven, but Jannah is a heaven that's a garden, a place where you work, a place where you have production. That's Jannah, God. So that's why you'll find that word used more than anything else. God, God, God. You're going to be placed in a situation where Adam was placed in the garden to do good works. You're placed in this world to do good works. But in the next life, don't think you're just going to sit up and float and do nothing. There's a garden. You have works over there. The difference between that garden and this garden, if we're fortunate and blessed to get in, and everybody eventually get in, some have to go through the door, the flames, according to the prophet. We want to bypass that and get in through God's mercy. But if we're blessed to get in, the difference between what you want to do here and for whatever reason couldn't do it, prevented from doing it, block, obstacles, whatever, the difference is on the other side, there are no obstacles. Do whatever you want. Achieve it. That's good. If you're blessed to be, we're blessed to be in the agenda, if there are no obstacles, whatever you want to achieve there, you'll be able to do it. Tell them, Muhammad, that their portion, if they have faith, do good works, here's the good news for them. They will have a share of the God, some portion in this life, and some portion, the greater portion of it in the next life. Well, what type of God? Tajri min ta'tiha al-anharu. These gardens, they don't have to water. They don't have to go out there and turn the holes on and put it on the vegetation and the flowers to grow. No. These gardens, God said, just like I told you, this is different news than what's on the TV now. Beneath these gardens are flowing rivers. Underneath. So they're benefiting from something underneath. Now, my dear friend, and others of you all who are out there now, you have a different ear, okay? The Quran speaks to many ears. It's like the ears of thorn, right? So when you, if you're sensitized and informed in business, finance, your ear hears something that the person common ear doesn't hear. It should. And I know my friend, he is. God's beneath which rivers flow. That's a scriptural term first. Then it found its way into the business world later. Cash flow. Yeah. So underneath these gardens, they rivers. And I shared with you, bro, mentioned to you last week and the week before, how the Muslims, particularly in Saudi Arabia and Kuwait and other places, walking on sand and beneath it, gods are up on me, rivers flowing of nothing but oil flowing underneath. And they're walking, just walking through the sand, walking in the desert in the sand. Nothing, they didn't know that there were flowing rivers of cash underneath their feet. Every time Allah says, "Kul limarusul," "Ruzikul minha." Now, well, let me read it, and then I'll show you how the picture is changing from this world to the next. Picture is changing from this world to the next. Every time they are fed with fruits from this garden they're from, they say, "Why, this is what we were fed with or supplied with, tikna, raza, sustenance. This is what we were provided with before, min qabli. Wa utu bihi mutashabiha." So they are given things in symbols. They're given things in metaphor. They're given things in allegory. And they're given things in symbolic language. See, that's what I said. It switches between this world and the next. So God revealed to the prophet that when you, we, inshallah, God willing, we get to that Jannah, good news, we're going to be exposed to every kind of production that you can imagine. And some we can't even imagine. But some of it that we encounter, and our family members who had faith, loved ones and relatives who had faith, did good works while they were here, had faith, Christians, Jews, Muslims, you know, we don't have a monopoly on paradise and good deeds now. No. Those of our loved ones, God rest their souls, who are over there in the heaven, Christian, Jews, Jannah, they are experiencing what I'm talking about. God said, we will say, "Why, this is similar. This is like what we had in the first life." So Allah is not going to give us some paradise. Well, there'll be some things there, like I said, that you can't identify with. But he will give us things that we'll be able to reference back to this world. That's the Quran. That's not me. I'm reading that. I just told you the chapter and the verse. Let me give it to you again just in case you missed it. Chapter 2, verse 25. They are going to say, "Well, this is similar to what we had before." They are given things in parables and picture language. But here's what I want to add. That's not there. Just to think about it. If we don't have anything here, and you get over there, how are you going to say this is what I had before if you didn't have anything before? So, hence the language of the dark. See? That we have that picture of the garden, and we're told both in the Quran and the Bible that God put Adam in the garden in this life first. First, Adam wasn't put in the garden in the next life first. Quran, Bible, Adam was placed in the garden in this life. And I've shared with you before. The Bible gives it as Eden, Eden, Old Testament chemistry. And the Quran gives it as Adnan, A-D-N-A-N. Same. The Arabic, English, Eden. Paradise. So you just think, dear people. And when I say dear people, I'm talking to everybody that's out there watching us. said to us, giving us this wonderful news, good news, that Adam is in the garden and this life first. And then when he leaves, and Adam is a picture of the big community, the big family, the prototype or type. You can have one man if you like. That's up to you. One lady, Adam, that's up to you. But if you read in the Bible, which your eyes open, it says it's plain as day, and we place them in the garden and name T-H-E-M, them, Adam. Them! And then after they had children, Cain and Abel, the first two sons, Cain goes east of Eden. He leaves and goes to another location, a place. This is Bible. This is not the Quran. This is what I'm giving you now. And he goes to another city, another town or place, and it's called N-O-D. Nod. And we have people who don't want you to wake up. You missed that, huh? He married a woman from Nod. He picked up one of the sleepers. So Allah comes later and addressed in cat, the cave, chapter 18. Says, we're going to address, I'm paraphrasing, we're going to address the affairs of the sleepers. Those who are sleeping on their blessings. Those who are asleep in this world. Those who are asleep to the great possibilities that God put in their human beings. We're going to tell you about the affairs of the sleepers. And Cain married one of them. And that was the one who killed his brother Abel, too, man. Don't forget that. Another lesson for another time. So Adam was placed in the garden, told to develop it in this world first, and told to dress it up and improve upon it. And so God revealed to the prophet, say, when we get to that next life, we're going to say, this is similar to what we had before in the first life. And they have therein, they will have therein an agenda. But now, we want their here too. What? وَلَهُمْ فِيهَا أَزْوَاجٌ Listen, brothers. أَزْوَاجٌ مُطَهَّرَةٌ Listen, sisters. And they will have therein companions, mates, wives, husbands, pure. I don't want to use what they put in. They create too many problems. Purified companions. Companions, husbands, and wives with excellent character. And they will abide therein, fiha khalidun, and they will dwell therein forever. Now let me go to the next verse I have for you to give you a perspective on this. Chapter 9, verse 20. Still talking about give the good news to the believers, God revealed to the prophet. So here we are, 9 and 20. Al-Ladina aminu wa hajaru wa jahadu fi sabilillahi bi amwalihim wa anfusihim azzamu darjatan indallah wa ulaika humul faizun. Those who have faith, and the same thing that we had in chapter 2, verse 25. Those who have faith, but now they're going a little step further, and they suffer, Wahajir, exile, the Muhajir that left Mecca, went to Medina, and they suffer exile. It's addressing that specifically, but it's addressing all people that move from one lifestyle to another lifestyle. One ideology to another ideology. And those of us who are converts or reverts to Al-Islam, you can think about your experiences. I'm talking to you all out there in Facebook, YouTube, land everywhere. And I could tell you some of my personal experiences. When I became a Muslim and the pushback I received from certain members of my family. Those who believe and suffer exile, and they struggle, jahidu, strive with their might and main in God's cause with their money. Listen, dear people. With their wealth, I'm glad in him. They support God's cause with their wealth, their resources. And if they don't have the resources, well, I'm pushing him. They support it with their spirit. They support it with their time. They support it with themselves. They support it with their knowledge. They support it with their efforts. Those who have wealth may not have the time, the efforts to put in, so they supply their wealth. And Muhammad the Prophet, he has said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the prayer and peace from the Prophet, anyone who helps a worker in God's cause, or anyone who helps the work of Allah's cause, of God's cause, I say Allah, God, interchangeable, because for us it's the same. As long as we're not talking about a human being, now, it's the same. All right? God, English. Allah, Arabic. Mut, German. Dios, Spanish. All mean God, the creator we're talking about now, not human beings. Any who support, the prophet said, any who support a person who works in the cause of God is as though that person is doing that work also. And they get the similar reward. That's what the prophet said. All right, let's keep reading the Quran. Those who believe and suffer exile and strive with might and main in God's cause, with their wealth and their souls, what's the good news to them? They have, here's the separation. They have darajat and Allah. They are degrees above those that don't work for the cause of God or elevate them. God does it. It's not up to me, not you. God does it. God told the prophet, said, those who work for my cause, who promote righteousness, have faith, Christian, Jew, Muslim, whatever your religion is, or you don't identify with any religion, you believe in the Creator, God, and you work for righteousness, you work for good causes, Allah, the Creator, said, I elevate your station. Yeah. I raise you up. Yeah. The world may consider you nothing. May not even give you any consideration, like Christ Jesus. But he died working in the cause of God. And Allah says in the Quran, yeah, they thought they killed him. They didn't kill him. Meaning what? They did not kill his message. They didn't kill his work. They didn't kill his efforts. God elevated him. So the name of Jesus is pronounced all over the world today. Yeah. And you know who else they didn't kill? Dr. Martin Luther King. They killed him physically, but he still lives through us. You know who else they didn't kill? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Nobody, well, they didn't kill him. He died of natural causes. But he still lives among us. And a powerful mantra, that powerful statement, if we don't remember anything about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, God forgive me, sin and grant us that. Oh, wow, footnote, side note, that was Malcolm X's teacher, by the way. You know, you all out there in Facebook land, YouTube, you all like to promote us. And I'm not criticizing Brother Malcolm. God forgive me, grant that. But Malcolm had a teacher. Malcolm had somebody help him stop pimping and selling drugs and being an alcoholic and being a derelict on the streets. And it was the Almighty Elijah Muhammad. And the comment, the mantra, the theme, that if we remember nothing, we remember this. Do something for yourself. He left us with that. So he's still living. Imam Wadisuddin Muhammad, still alive. Not physically. Muhammad the Prophet. 2 billion followers all over this globe, and he's been gone for 1,445 years physically from this earth. Because Allah is better than Allah elevated Muhammad the Prophet, for having teacher funding. And oh, by the way, Do you know the most popular name for boys on this earth right now? Out of the 7 billion people on earth, I'm talking about the whole earth now, I'm not talking about America. On earth, you know what the most popular name is for males on earth? Mohammed. What's the name? You know what the second most popular name is? His last name. Most of us don't know his last name because we sort of used to say prophet. That wasn't his first name. That was the missionary title, the prophet. His name, the most popular, second most popular name, Abdullah. Abdullah, because that was his name, Muhammad. Abdullah. Now, I know the American saying is Abdullah. We let you get away with that because it's too hard to say that I am. But it's okay. My name is Abdullah. That's a friend. Abdullah. That's my friend. Abdullah. We know how to say it. But if you say Abdullah, we don't get upset. If you say Mark, we don't get upset. That's not the name of our house of worship. You didn't know that? Masjid. And people always have a hard time saying masjid. So they say mosque. And we say, that's fine by us, no problem. We know what it's called. God said he raised them in ranks in the sight of God. Those who work for his cause, those who spend their money and their wealth in his cause, God elevate them and bring them close to him. And look what he reveals to the prophet. This great good news to the believers. They will be the ones who will achieve success in this world and the next. Verse 21. Verse 22. I read both of those together because they flow together, 21 and 22, and we'll read in 5. Their Lord gives them good news of a mercy from himself, of his good pleasure for his word. He's pleased. You work in his, listen. You work for God? You work in his cause? And even if you don't work in his cause, you support his cause. You're a special kind of fella and a special kind of lady. That's what God says. You're special. Don't let anybody tell you different. Their Lord does give them good news of a mercy from himself. Of his good pleasure, he speaks, and of gardens for them, wherein are all kind of delights that will last. Na'im, that's my brother's name. Na'im, my younger brother. Na'im. Na'im, you're listening to the Juma, your name is right here, chapter 20, chapter 9, verse 21. Na'im, and my daughter's name is Ni'amah, the feminine form of the same word. Therein are delights, mupim, that will endure. And as I conclude the reading, they will dwell therein. Okay. Now, I'm going to bring it back here and then extend it out to make the message. They will dwell therein. Kiha means inside. Okay? They was, remember I said Adam was placed in the garden first on earth. They will dwell therein. They will live in that spiritual state, mental state. They will live like that he had advertised. There's nothing you can do to take them out of the garden of their soul. The garden of their minds. They will live like that forever. No matter all the bad news on TV, all the bad news on social media, all the bad news and pessimism and negativity that they did. Not these ones that work in the cause of God and support the cause of God, and he has elevated them and brought them near him. God said, no, I got you. If you keep what I told you to do, the good news for you is this. No matter what you hear, what environment you live in your soul, in your mind, in your spirit, in your heart, you will be fine. You will be in paradise where everybody else around you will be like they're catching hell, and you will be just a, well, why are you so upset? You're asking, what's wrong with you, brother? Sister, what's the matter with you? You're in here, fell, okay. Veil in the Lord's presence. In the Lord, really in God's presence. When you get that kind of spirit from God and you in God's presence, then, oh, that's the greatest reward you can get. Now, I said here, yes, I can do this. And then we extend it to the next life. When we leave here, God forbid, God grant us good health and long life. Now, we want to be on this side as long as we can. But you always be here. You want to be productive here, all right? But when we get on the other side, unlike this ends. Listen. This, all of it, at some point, ends. The sun folds up. You can't even imagine the sun going out. But it will. And God tells us that. The sun folds up. And God says, and the skies fold up like a scroll. The moonlight goes. The star falls. Boom, back into the black hole whence they came. It all collapsed. Now, human life would have long been gone. God's mercy. Just like human life wasn't here to see it unfold. And Allah tells us in the Quran, I did not call you to witness your creation. We didn't see that. Nope, we got eyes, but we didn't see that. None of us saw ourselves being born. You did? None of us saw ourselves being born. Eyes, but didn't see that. And Allah says to the prophet, not only did I not call you to witness your own creation, I didn't call you to witness. You weren't around when I made the sun and the moon and the stars and the heavens. You weren't here. And when I collapsed it all and dropped it all into the black hole, you won't be around to see that either. Allah is out of his mercy. However, here's the good news. The good news, God says, is while I collapse the sun and the moon and the stars back into the black hole of which it came, and all matter collapse back in, you will be living on the demon free path. And a new reality and another existence. And this world will have no effect on you at all. What do I mean by that? This world ages up. Not going to happen in the next life. This world makes us ill sometimes. Not going to happen in the next life. This world makes us weak and infirm over time, and then you eventually leave, and you can't do anything. You need somebody to help you. Not in the next life. The prophet said, there's no sickness over there, no old age over there, no infirmity over there. Now, don't be looking ready to just run on up out of here and get over there. Now, you ain't all good. Remember, Adam was placed in the garden here first, not the gender over there. That came later. But the good news is, when all of this is gone and it all collapses and falls into the black hole, we will be living on the other side, and there will be no end to us. Allahu Akbar. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسول الكريم صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد أيها المسلمون. Again, greetings to all of you that are here and on Jumu'ah conference line. Oh, and by the way, American Muslim 360, I don't know why I set them up, I always forget that you all are broadcasting and have been broadcasting our Jumu'ahs for the entire month of September on American Muslim 360 radio program live. And we thank you for that, and we are honored by that. And by the way, we have our visitors, I didn't mention earlier, our brother that came with Ishmael, Brother Corey, one of our visitors here. Happy to see you. Welcome, Brother Corey. Brother Esau from New York. Brother Corey is from Jacksonville, Florida. And he's a guest of Ishmael Muradin. And by the way, you all know we've opened the masjid since November, right, from COVID. So you can start doing again what Ishmael is doing and what Tug is doing. Bring some folks with you now, because we back open. Still have those masks, but we open. So bring some people with you. Now, our bigger audience, as you know, our bigger group, online, we have a digital masjid, digital community. And Raheem was asking me last week, well, how many people, and these are estimates based on what I'm looking at, the analytics, live. So we have live numbers, reach the viewers, and then we have people through the week that watch the program later. There's other part, they have things they're doing. They join on later. They share with others, so it increased the numbers. So I shared with him last week. I said between Facebook, YouTube, StreamYard, Jumu'ah Conference Line, American Muslim 360, the numbers that I can see, because I don't know all the numbers, I can't see them all, we average about 1,200 to 1,500 people live with us every Friday at Jumu'ah Prayer. Now, we can't get 1,200 people in here. No, but we can get them on our digital platform. You understand? And then as the week goes and they share, I do see some of those numbers. It gets up into 5,000, 7,000, 10,000, and it just spreads and spreads. And it may be even more than that. And I know it's going around the world because I share with you every week the international views and the countries that they are from in different parts of the world. So we thank Allah for that, and we are honored that we have this viewership, and it's growing. It's growing. A lot of work put in, but over time it's growing, and we're humbled by it. And our dear sister, now, she's my cousin too, this cousin wife, Tracy. Now, Tracy, when you get three, we happy to see you again, three. You're not out of business no more. We're going to claim you. That's Don Gaffney's wife, my cousin. So she's been coming. She's been coming every week. So after this one, baby, you come back, man. You're going to be with us. It's like Don. So we're happy to see you again, cuz. All right. Now, I know you saw me pick up. Dude, he said, you haven't been ready to read all those books? No. You're going to let you go. But I have to share this with you. I'll read something out of it next week, inshallah. And Raheem, I know you pulled it up, right, so I have it on screen. This book, right here, 1,001 Inventions, the Enduring Legacy of Muslim Civilization. Now, I just got this book. I'm going to get to the business, but I have to give you this. I just received this book from my friend, Dawood Gray. My brother, I know you're watching. Allah bless you. This treasure chest of information regarding the invention of Muslims in the golden age, the 800, the 9th century, the 8th century, of things that we still have today that were given to this world by the followers of Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon our Prophet. Every family needed, every school needed. Now, don't depend on the Florida State Legislature to teach you this. Forget it. They're not going to do it. Don't ask them. I'm sharing with you. You get off Amazon. But Daoud, thank you for this gift, my brother. I started flipping through it, and I just got so excited. But I'm going to leave it and, inshallah, read something out of it next week. But there's so much in there. 1,001 inventions that the Muslim world gave to this world. You have to read it. But because this is the second part of the Jummah, and as was the tradition of Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, he would bring to the attention of the community needs, pressing needs, things that they need to improve on. And it's always for us in the United States of America, money. We have to work on improving our financial situation. So hence, new book by my dear friend, business mentor, Bill Shaw. And I just got it, Shaw, just got it, but I'm thumbing through it. And it's called How Money Works. Well, that's important. The facts visually explained. So I'm flipping through it, and it's a visual guide on money. Very simplified. So I'm going to read something from here, paragraph, and then we'll pray. Give you a couple of pieces I want to bring to your attention. Quote, page 8. Money is the oil that keeps the machinery of our world turning. By giving goods and services at ease and measured value, money facilitates the billions of transactions that take place every day. That includes all the spinning wheels. Without it, the industry and trade that form the basis of modern economies would grind to a halt and the flow of wealth around the world would cease. Money has fulfilled this vital role for thousands of years. Before its invention, people used to barter, swapping goods they produced themselves for things they needed from others. Potato farmer traded with the tomato farmer. Tomato farmer bartered with the onion farmer, and so forth. Barter is sufficient for simple transactions, but not when the things traded are of differing values. Are not available at the same time. Money, by contrast, has a recognized uniform value and is widely accepted. $100 is $100. Now, depending on where you travel, if you travel worldwide, currency changes and values in terms of the currency fluctuates. At heart, a simple concept, over many thousands of years, it has become very complex indeed. At the start of the modern age, individuals and government began to establish banks and other financial institutions before. Eventually, ordinary people could deposit their money in a bank account and earn interest, borrow money and buy property, invest their wages in businesses, or start companies themselves. Banks could also insure against the sort of calamities that might devastate families of traders, encouraging risk in the pursuit of profit. Lastly, read this. Today, currently, it is a nation government, United States of America, country I'm in, and the central bank that controls a country's economy. Hope you heard that. The central bank controls the country's economy. The Federal Reserve, known as the Fed, is the central bank in the United States. The Fed issues currency, determines how much of it is in circulation, and decides how much interest it will charge banks to borrow its money. While governments still print and guarantee money in today's world, it no longer needs to exist as physical coins or notes, not today, but can be solely in digital form. The digits, seven and numbers. This book examines every aspect, well, I recommend you get it. This book examines every aspect of how money works, including the history financial markets and institutions, government finance, profit making, personal finance, wealth, shares, pensions, social security benefits, national, local taxes. That's pretty much covered everything, doesn't it? Through visual explanations and practical examples that make even the most complex concepts immediately accessible, how money works, offer a clear understanding of what money is all about and how it shapes our modern society, end quote, highly recommended reading. Now, let me give you these two people. That's, here's one working money real well. Big time. I know some of you are familiar with him, so he's no stranger. Our brother, Byron Allen. Okay? Oh, yeah. Media mogul, now he's working his money. Media mogul Byron Allen, African-American descendant of slave ancestors, offers $10 billion to acquire ABC from Disney. There he is. Descendant of slave families, Hagar's child. And you know what else he said? I'm not going to read all of it, but you can look it up. He said, cash is no problem. See, just hear what he said. He asked him, you got $10 billion? He said, the money ain't no problem. Hey, you hear me say it all the time. It's like a, what they call, used to call a broken record. Beat, drum beat. I'm going to keep beating. Keep it, that Allah, God, the Creator, is compensating the descendants of former slave parents, and reparations cannot give Byron Allen $10 billion. You think the United States government or the Federal Reserve will write him a check for $10 billion? God does. And lastly, one young man, tell you about him right quick. This is my nephew, out of one of my students, highly educated out of Dallas, Texas, community there, and EJ, I had this for a while, this parent wouldn't allow me, my dear nephew here. Congratulations, this is to him from the National Football League Players Association. Congratulations, you have passed the examination administered on July 24, 2023. This means, EJ, Elijah Muhammad, Jr., that you are now eligible for certification after you fulfill a few other requirements, the NFL clubs will be advised that they are authorized to negotiate directly with you an individual contract for the National Football League players. Marvelous. That's my little nephew and one of my students. Oh, by the way, alhamdulillah, he can lead salat of Tarawih prayers without repeating the same surah. I thought it when he was 9 or 10 years old. رَبِّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Our Lord, grant us the best that this life and this world has to offer us, and grant us the best that the next life and the next world has to offer us, and save us from the punishment of the fires of sins. And, O Allah, out of your mercy, please reduce and eliminate is gun violence in these United States of America. That means the cost of life.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an Muhammad Rasulullah, ashhadu an Muhammad Rasulullah. Hayya ala salat, hayya ala salat. Ayyul al-Qur'an, ayyul al-Qur'an. Qad qamati salah, qad qamati salah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah.
Muhammad al-Rasulullah. As always, those of you all joining us on the East Coast and Central Time Zone, you can join us for prayer. And you all on the West Coast, yes, if you'd like to join and pray with us since you joined us for the Friday prayer, the Jummah, and the Jummah conference line, and you're on the West Coast, you can. Just keep in mind, I say it every week, that when your prayer time comes in, on the West Coast in the Central Time Zone, then you have to make your prayers appropriate. Allahu Akbar. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فاستغفر بحمد ربك واستغفره إنه كان توابا الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد الله أكبر سمي الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله الفاتحة بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين تقبل الله May Allah accept our prayers. brothers, if you're on the way out, make sure you make the contributions. We have expenses. And it's not your first time, is it? Okay. You brought your family with you. What's your name? Yeah, Rafiq. Okay. All right, Rafiq. You've been here before. And good to see you. All right, those of you all who are joining us on Facebook, YouTube, Manager My Conference Line, thank you as always. You honor us, as I say every week, by your presence. We would like to support our work and our efforts, our international global ministry, Al-Islam Worldwide Ministry, as some of you all do. Please go to our website, www.alislamworldwideministry, and you can donate on our digital page. So you can make a digital contribution. Tap on donate. and contribute online. Those of you all, we have some of you all who are consistent and regular. Whatever you can contribute, we appreciate that to help us with our work. And make sure you include an email if you send it digitally, because I get it, and I respond back to you if you have an email address. If you don't, we appreciate your contribution. Also, if you prefer to mail your contribution in, as some of you do, mail it to, address it, your check, Al Islam Worldwide Ministry, P.O. Box 3204, which is on the screen, Jacksonville, Florida, 32206. We appreciate your support. May Allah continue to bless all of you. Thank you for choosing Al Islam Worldwide Ministry as the place that you chose to be with today for Friday prayer at Masjid Muhammad here in Jacksonville, Florida. Thank you all very much. We will see you and share Allah, God willing. Same time, same place next week. Tell all your friends. If you get on YouTube or follow me, yeah, YouTube, on our YouTube page, it's Imam Yahya Abdullah, subscribe, or Al Islam Worldwide Ministry, subscribe, and share it with your family, friends, neighbors, and others. See you next week, God willing, 1:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thanks for joining us. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Almighty God Allah. We are grateful for Masjid Muhammad of Jacksonville, Florida, sharing the Juma with us here on American Muslim 360. And we are grateful to our beloved Imam Yahya Abdullah for delivering an excellent Juma. Praise be to Almighty God Allah. We are moving forward. This broadcast is named as Share Your Juma, which we have just done, an excellent Juma. And now we move forward to the commentary of Imam Waris Uddin Muhammad, Rahimahullah Alayhi. Praise be to Almighty God Allah. I made a selection, and it is entitled Putting the Neighbor Back in the Hood. Putting the Neighbor Back in the Hood. I believe it's from out of Houston, Texas, inshallah. May we all benefit from the hearing, inshallah.
So lastly now,
Brandon,
here comes...
I'm sorry. Yeah, here we go.
So at this point, I'm going to make an exit and bring on for you our leader, Imam W.D. Muhammad. Take this! Take this! Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Praise be to God and thank you. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Praise and thank you to God, the Lord, sustainer of the worlds. He is one, and he's God for all of us, and he's insane for all of us. He cares about us all, and we witness that he has sent messengers and prophets into the world to advance human society, and the last of them being Muhammad, the prophet. Peace be upon him and upon all the servants of God. Be peace. Ameen. We are very happy here in Houston today. I'm just jumping inside my own body now. I'm doing a Holy Ghost dance inside my own body. So pleased to see you all respond to this great program headed up by our Imam of Houston, in Houston, the city of Houston, Imam Qasim Ahmed, and his wonderful helpers here. We certainly want to congratulate you all on your hard work, and we thank God for the success that we're looking at today. Islam is a religion of peace. The name itself is rooted in the word meaning peace. Salama means to give peace, And salam means peace. And salam is a greeting of Muslims, of every Muslim, whether he's from Asia, from Europe, America, the greetings of all Muslims on this earth is as-salam, and it means the peace. Alaykum, it means on you. And it's a greeting to extend you peace. But if you listen closely to the expression in Arabic, you know how to speak Arabic, it's a greeting that says all of us are obligated to work for peace. As-salamu alaykum. It didn't say on you singularly. It's speaking to the collective body. Kum. It's for the collective body. So it says all of us are obligated to work for peace, to support peace, and promote peace. Islam is a religion of peace, and Islam means resign, means you have accepted, you have made up your mind for good, to be peaceful yourself, and to have a peaceful relationship with your maker, with your God, and with your fellow man. That's what Al-Islam means. Resign to be at peace with your God and with your fellow man. Islam is also from that particular interest there. We go to the results. What is the result of us wanting to? What will we have? What will be the benefit? If we want peace with our God, that is the God of all people, and we want peace with our fellow man, the result is that we are going to have unity. Islam is also the religion of unity. It's the religion of oneness. And our language is Tawheed, from our holy book and from our teacher, Muhammad, the prophet, prayers and peace be on him. Then the language, the terminology is Tawheed. It comes from the word Wahid, means one. And Tawheed is the concept of oneness in Islam. And this concept of oneness begins with the recognition that there is one God. And we are all the children of Abraham. We all are the children of Abraham, Christians and Muslims and Jews. We are the children of Abraham. And Abraham is the one in our religion who was searching for God. He was not satisfied with the God of his father. His father was also the ruler of the society that Abraham was a citizen of, in. And his father had these gods, and one time Abraham was a young lad. He saw these gods, and no one was around, and he was disturbed by them. He didn't like it that his people were worshiping these idols. So he destroyed one of them. And when they discovered that an idol was destroyed, they burst off to find out who did this. So they found out that it was Abraham. And when they came to Abraham, peace be on Abraham, his father said to Abraham, who did this? He answered his father. He said, ask the biggest one. And his father rejected him. He put him out of the society. And Abraham began to wonder, travel. And Abraham, one day, according to Islamic story of Abraham, one day Abraham set out in a lonely place, away from all the city traffic and business. He set out in the open area where nothing would disturb him. And he just began to observe creation itself. So he was observing creation, and he saw the sunrise. He set out all night long and observing creation. And he marveled over the stars and everything. But when the sun began to rise at dawn, he said, this must be God. This is the brightest and biggest and most splendid of all. And he said, until the sun began to until the sun began to set. And when the sun had set, he said, oh no, that cannot be my Lord, for my Lord is not one to set. And Abraham concluded, God who designed all this is my Lord. Not any of this that I'm looking at, but the one who designed all this is my Lord. So we came to the conclusion that the God is not the material world that you look at, and not to be found in any material thing that you're looking at, but it's the God behind it, the cause behind it, and the one who originated it, and that all of this is perishable. Abraham discovered this for all of us, that all of this is perishable, but God endures forever and never changes. So he's the one that we saw and he gave us that idea. And this idea is the idea for us and the idea for the Christians. It's the same. That there is one God, and God is not this world, but the creator of this world. And not anything in this world, but the creator of this world. And we should worship him in faith and in spirit. This is common religion for us. And our articles of faith are very much like your articles of faith. We say we believe in God. You do. That's where we begin. Our articles of faith begin with a belief in God. We believe in God. We believe in revelation that he reveals. And we believe in all the books. We don't reject any of them. We believe in all the books that he reveals. And we believe in his messengers and prophets. We believe in all of them. We don't make discrimination. I don't make a difference between them in terms of their legitimacy. They're all legitimate messengers and servants of God. And we believe also in the day of judgment. And we believe in the resurrection from the dead, as you do. And we believe in Qadr, the power of God. That regulates what will happen, or that determines what will happen. If you do anything, if you do something, you'll get bad results or you'll get good results. God created the world like that. It's his form and his balance or measurements. He measured everything so that it gives you so much of this and so much of that. And if you approach it wrongly or incorrectly, not all the time wrongly, because wrongly implies that you did something wrong. You approach it incorrectly, it gives you the bad results. If you approach it correctly, it gives you the good results. And we also believe the same when it comes to God, how we perceive God. We say that God is good, and God accepts nothing but good. God is a good God. Muhammad says God is good, and God accepts nothing but good. And God says, blame not God for your troubles, but blame yourself. But blame yourself. Now, that doesn't mean you won't have troubles, but God didn't only create you a body. God created you a soul. And the soul can get so close to God that it can't be troubled by anything. Abraham was put in the fire, according to our religion, our teachings. And when they went to open the door of the oven to see how was Abraham doing, whether he was burnt up or whatever, they saw him in the flames, unaffected by the flames. So some people cry out when they're hurting, and they're in pain because of the troubles in their lives. But some go on with the troubles and never show that they're hurt or pain at all. This is what God can do to you if you just get closer and closer to him. This is religion. This is a religion that we share in common. So this that we see as bad and miserable, look how we read. I read a book about a man who had no hands, but he had a brain, a mind, and he had a soul. He had lost most of the members of his body. And the book was called My Big Toe. With his big toe, he could hold a pencil. And he took that toe and he wrote the book. My Big Toe. He wrote the book. A big novel. And it sold. It was a nice book. I read it. I enjoyed it so much. So, how stations radio stations. If you're stationed in the right idea and in the right belief, your suffering will not be felt by you. And I read the story of many. He's not the only one. The man who wrote the book about his big toe. I read the story of many. How they suffer. I was watching television once. And this scientist couldn't speak. He was, his body, his physical condition was so terrible, you hardly wanted to look at him. But he was happy. He was happy because he was placed somewhere above his body. And above the material reality and the material life. He was placed somewhere above that. And so God's plan is for us to evolve as thinking creatures. And as creatures with a soul, heart, and mind, his plan is for us to evolve above the misery and the limitations of this physical world. We want to begin at first.
Okay, I'm pausing now. I'm moving to part two of putting the neighbor back into the neighborly me. You just heard part one. Now I'm moving forward to part two, inshallah. Have patience with me, please. Here, because I set it up earlier. Hold on, please. Here we go. Oh, no, that's part one. Let me see. Hold on. Here we go. Okay. Putting the neighbor in the hood, part two. I thank you for your patience. Praise be to Allah.
So that we isolate it and protect it from it, but at the same time will not be ignorant of it or oblivious. We will be conscious of it, and we will be in a good situation to help others. And that's Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus. He was protected from the miseries of the world, and he was himself unaffected by error. Not even death. Not even death could take him, could change him or take him away. You know, could kill him. He lived beyond death. He survived death, and death could not sting him. Not to say, not to mention pain or killing. No. He cried, according to on the cross. He cried out to God, but he didn't say, I'm hurting. He said, oh God, this is painful, I'm hurting. He didn't say that. So I say to you, the religions are very similar, because Prophet Muhammad taught us the same thing. Prophet Muhammad taught us to live so that this world does not affect us, but we affect it. And Muhammad said that in the end you will see Christ Jesus and myself together. And the more I understand the teachings of our holy book and the life of our prophet, the more I see Muhammad and Jesus close together. And the more I get acquainted with Christians who live their Christianity, I regret that most of the Christians that I got to know as a boy playing in my neighborhood and living next door with around us, I don't think they knew what Christianity was about. But after I got to meet real Christians that consciously practiced their religion, I have come to really have a high respect for them, not to mention my respect, for the Bible and for the Christian religion, but for the Christian people themselves. I've come to have such high respect for them. So much respect for them, I can trust my children to Christians that I know. If I died, I can leave my child with Christians. And I know that child will be taken care of. Yes. And I know we want the world to come like that, where we can trust each other with our babies. an imam. I had ministers of the Nation of Islam, but I didn't have an imam. So I searched for the truth, and I was reading the Bible once. I didn't go to Christians for interpretation either. I didn't have any to go to. So I interpreted the Bible. I read in the Bible where Jesus told his disciples to wash each other's feet. So that's a wonderful message. Wonderful message. And you know, they represent in front of them. Right? The whole earth, all the world. Yeah, all the world. So he was telling them as representatives of leadership for the world after him. Leadership for the world. He's telling them to wash each other's feet. Sometimes it's not a nice job, it's not a clean job washing feet, man, all the time. Especially when they wear gym shoes. Sneakers. It's not a pleasant job all the time. And it's not a pleasant job washing, cleaning up our public. It's not a pleasant job cleaning up our public. But it's a job for all of us. And I don't think those men represented Christianity. Those men represented real leadership. That's what they represented, real leadership. And it so happened that they were following Christ. But their job was real leadership. Wash each other's feet. So through those men, I interpreted that through those men, the gospel is saying the communities of the world should take care of each other's publics. So if my Muslim public goes down and my public becomes ignorant and unconscious, you Christians should care about my public and you care about yours. And you should help my public clean up and become respectful of human life again. That was the way I interpret that. Now, I can't say that's the interpretation because I'm not a Christian or a student of Christian teachings. I'm an ordained or a licensed person to speak on Christianity, but it's not. I have not been licensed. So I'm saying to you what I see in that picture of 12 in Christ told to wash each other's feet. The world must care about itself, and we must care about each other. The world must have leadership that cares about everybody, and Muslims should care about Christians who are suffering, Christians who are down, Christians who have lost their decency, and the Christians should care about us. So I believe that our communities are really much closer together than most of us know or think. Much closer together than most of us know, I think. In our holy book, God says to us, you'll find the nearest to you to be those who call themselves Nasara. And Nasara is a Quranic term for Nazarene, the Nazarenes, or the Nazarenes, people of Nazareth. And that was the term back in those days, in that particular area of the world, that was the term for the Christians. So it simply means the Christians. That you will find the people closest to you to be those who call themselves Nazarenes, but now we must say the Christian people. The Christian people. Closest to us is what respect. We know in a sense when we give language, you know, language doesn't always clearly show the identity. So some languages that are mystified. Some languages mystify so much, and so only the people of that particular language or school of thought understand the language. Outsiders may not even understand the language, or not understand it clearly or completely. We find, in terms of language, the Jews to be closest to us in the concept of God, how we conceive God, the concept of God. The Jews insist that God is one, and you can't associate or worship anything with God. You can't conceive any picture or any person or anything with God. So we find that the Jews is closest to us in language. In language. But in spirit, the Christians are closer to Muslims than the Jews. In spirit. And if I understand religion, spirit is more important than anything else. More important than anything else. Spirit. We are followers of God, or we are children of God, in our spiritual life and spiritual obedience to God. Not the flesh, not the body, but the body can deceive us. The body walks into the messenger and prays all the prayers. And the body can be Shaitan himself. The body could be the house of Shaitan himself. We don't know. Because anybody can come in and go through those motions. And it might be Satan himself. But the spirit cannot, Satan cannot take on the spirit of the faithful. It's impossible for him. Satan cannot take on the spirit of the faithful. And we know each other. We feel each other by spirit. We feel the spirit, not the body, but the spirit. We know each other by spirit, not by flesh. We are much closer together than we think. Now, not to say that I haven't been around some Jews, but I felt an affinity. I felt a closeness. I felt very close to them. I felt faith. I felt spirit. I felt everything. But in the whole, the Jewish people are not as rich in the spiritual life as Christians. Not near as much in the Christian in the spiritual life as the Christians. And I think if they were here, they would say, you're most correct. I had one tell me once, you a water man, I'm a land man. I said, and I'm happy not to be a land man. I didn't say, yes, I'm a water man. I said, but I'm happy not to be a land man. It rained upon the land. And then, according to their book, God made the man. Yes. Well, I think we have that in common, too. We believe in the whole life as God planned it for us. We are people who want to see the world in unity as God intended for it to be. So we want to reconcile the life. So that the life is not separated from itself. We want an interest in the world, but we want to remain free of the world. Let's have an interest in the world. And we want to see people together despite their differences, their colors, their languages, cultures, their religion. We want to see them identify as God's people, and we want them to see them identify as the family of man that God created. But know that our religion has as its purpose and its aim on this earth the highest and noblest mission possible. But know that our religion has as its purpose and its aim on this earth.
Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. All I had was part one and part two of the lecture that was identified as neighborly needs, putting the neighbor back in the hood. I haven't thought to find part three. I don't know if there's a part three. I see the part two, I don't know if there's a part three of this, of that wonderful address. But what I'll do is, inshallah, I'll bring up another address of Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad, and it will be just as valuable as the one we just shared with you, inshallah. So we have about a half an hour of broadcast time left, and you're listening to the broadcast of Share Your Jummah and the commentary of Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad, Rahimallah Alayhi. We were grateful to share the Jummah with you from Masjid Muhammad of Jacksonville, Florida. And we are grateful to our beloved Imam Yahya Abdullah for sharing his Jummah with us here on American Muslim 360. I ask you if you would stick with me. We are going to share with you an important public service announcement. And I ask you, don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while, God willing, inshallah. Jummah Mubarak to you.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you, the one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah, and we are back. I want to now share with you an address of Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad entitled Islam's Teaching on Society. Islam's Teaching on Society. Inshallah, may we all benefit from the hearing, and we shall begin the presentation.
Next, a speech by Waz Muhammad. Recently, he spoke about being an Islamic citizen. This hour and 15-minute event was held by the Muslim American community of Boston.
I would first of all like to share with you something that the Imam asked me to make clear. One of the communications that went out to invite people here says that W.D. Muhammad honors Boston. And Imam wants me to let you know that he is honored by being here in your presence today. As all of us are when we get together with good people. So I'd like to give you a few words of introduction, and bear with me because I tend to ramble on. My wife can tell you that. And so I want to be very decisive, because I want to try to introduce you to what Imam is going to say to them. In 1975, Minister Wallace D. Muhammad, upon the passing of his father, was elected to lead the Nation of Islam. He inherited a fledgling group that was functioning with what the noted scholar Dr. Sia Nikon called, quote, unquote, a proto-Islamic idea of religion, combining black nationalism and religion. During that time, the American media, using another appellation from Dr. Lincoln, referred to the group as black Muslims. Dr. Lincoln, in explaining why he used the description black Muslim, said that the group at that time was concerned with its blackness as a race, as an ethnic group, more than anything else. The young leader, Supreme Minister Wallace D. Muhammad, who was already known to envision a path for the Nation of Islam away from isolationism, showed vigor and boldness in the early days of his leadership of the community that his father had gallantly led since the 1930s. In what was essentially an inauguration address at Savior's Day 1975 in Chicago, a few short hours after the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's death, he identified the Nation of Islam as a house and said that the winds of emotion would not shake or destroy it. Is that right? Soon thereafter, he opened up membership to any person from any ethnic group or any racial group who accepted the principles of classical Islam, that is, Islam as established by the Prophet Muhammad of Islam of over 1,400 years ago. Prayers and peace be upon him. In an historical address a short while later in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, he challenged the members to, quote unquote, remake the world. I was among the capacity crowd that filled Madison Square Garden and the Belt Forum in New York City in 1976 when Sheikh Imam Wallace D. Muhammad said to those who would follow him, you're going to have to get used to change and grow. Over 20 years, we are still changing and growing. The work and leadership of Imam Muhammad since 1975 has been characterized by a continuous movement to inculcate within his associates, the membership, the highest regard for God and the essentials of Islamic life and identity, as specifically outlined and established by the two most cherished and authentic sources for Islam, the Quran and the life example of the universal prophet Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him. It is a well-known saying of Prophet Muhammad, may God be pleased with him, that the best Muslim, quote, quote, the best Muslim is he who is best in society at large, unquote. Imam W.D. Muhammad has done much to engender that saying from the prophet in the membership. Those in Imam Muhammad's association today include mayors of cities, state representatives, members of police departments, firemen, et cetera, et cetera. And as an example to you, we have with us today an esteemed brother from one of the most progressive cities in the United States, and he is city councilman in that city, and he is Councilman Nasif Majid. I told Councilman Nasif that I didn't mean to embarrass him, but I just wanted him to help me out a little bit. Imam W.D. Muhammad's leadership has always remained true, not to the details, but to the aim of his father, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. May God grant him peace and forgive all his mistakes. And what was Elijah Muhammad's aim, essentially? It was the universal aim of man in society. That is, to have what God created man for, to have dignity at home, when he is alone, with himself or his family. Dignity in the public, when he interacts with his neighbors and fellow citizens. Dignity before the government. Dignity in the international world. To be honorable and respectful, to command respect wherever he is. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad used to tell us that he envisioned one day we would have, quote, friends in all walks of life. So that was the substance and the aim of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's work for 40 years or so. And Imam W.D. Muhammad has been working over the last 20-plus years to accomplish the same thing, to restore the dignity, the created dignity, the inborn, creator-given dignity of the devalued, degraded people. And over the years, he has even accepted to give attention to the deteriorated lot of many others who appear to be in the same condition. And so he is called today by many enlightened people the Muslim American spokesman of human salvation. The, quote, substance of his work has garnered respect in the U.S. Senate. You all know this, many of you, most of you. At the U.S. Pentagon, from Presidents Carter, Bush, and Clinton, he has stood as the first Muslim to address both houses of the Georgia legislature, the state of his father's earth. And he has been honored by the country of Egypt with its highest award for religious work, quote unquote, the gold medal of recognition. And, I might add, it was personally presented to him by Egypt's president, Hosni Mubarak. It was my pleasure to travel with Imam Muhammad and a small delegation of Muslims in his association to the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia this past December as a guest of King Fahd bin Abdul Aziz, the custodian of the two holy mosques. It was very obvious how much the leaders of Saudi Arabia respect Imam W.D. Muhammad and his work, for they introduced us over a 10-day period to the best people in their society. I've named just a few of Imam W.D. Muhammad's accomplishments as a leader of this community, representing once again the aim and substance that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad labored for, dignity at home in the public with the government and the international world. And so, honorable audience, we want you to know once again that we appreciate your presence here with us today. Please join us in welcoming the Muslim American spokesman for human salvation, Imam W.D. Muhammad.
Praise is Allah. Praise is Allah. Assalamu alaikum. Praise is Allah, the Lord, creator, cherisher, sustainer of all the worlds. We witness that he's one and has no partners or helper in the role of keeping the creation. And we witness that Muhammad, the prophet of the Quran, the prophet of Islam, the prophet of the Muslims, and a mercy to all the world, that prophet Muhammad in Mecca, Saudi Arabia, what is now Saudi Arabia, about 1,400 and some years ago, is the seal of the prophet, the last of the prophets, God's messenger and his servant, and we salute him. The salute, peace, and prayers be upon him. Ameen. And upon us, be peace. Ameen. We are honored, and I say we, because I represent something more than myself. If I represented only myself, I wouldn't be here, and I wouldn't be known by any of you. And we have been honored here in this little brief time that I've been present here in Dorchester, Massachusetts, in Boston. We have been honored here by our very distinguished and honorable elected officials, your elected officials. I say our because I identify with you. And we are very grateful to them and to this city for the respect that has been given us, shown to us on this occasion. And we hope that we can serve in an excellent way our cause, which also includes the welfare, the good life, and good future of mankind everywhere, in this city of Boston and everywhere. I would like to, before addressing the language in this subject that we have, excuse me, how to live with self, with family, with neighbor, and with another race, I would like to address the Strand Theater. This theater reminds me of a theater in Chicago where I was raised up from a little boy, from a baby, really. My mother brought me to Chicago when I was only 11 months old. And that theater's name is the Regal Theater, the Regal Theater. And the purpose of that theater is the same as the purpose of this theater, the Strand Theater. We lost that theater lots of bad times in Chicago, financially bad times for African-American people and for our African-American neighborhoods. The theater ran down. We lost that theater. But because there was a person who valued that theater and a businessman, African-American businessman, on the south side, in the area right on the south side where that theater is, because of his caring about that history, the theater was open again and in a much bigger and beautiful structure on the south side. Mr. Joe Gardner, who has his cosmetics products, hair preparation products, and some other businesses, properties and businesses. He used his money, and he got other support, and now the Regal Theater is open. So we have three theaters now that I know of that have long history, and they are open now, and they are back on the job of keeping the good life, the traditional life, and values of the American African-American people, the Strand, the Apollo, and the Regal Theater. There are a few others, and I'm going to make it my business to get acquainted with all of them because I feel that this history is very important to us. And believe me, I know the people who are behind these theaters are African-American supporters, like Percy Sutton, who is behind the Apollo Theater. He and his family, with his support, he and his family, they reopened the Apollo Theater in New York. And I know that all of these people behind these theaters, they are not only interested in us singing and dancing, but they're interested in us keeping a good moral life, having faith in God, and having an ethnic or racial culture or identity of our own. They want us to keep our folkways that are good and excellent, and they want us to leave those habits that are bad and degrading. They want us to not forget the good training we got from our excellent fathers and mothers and grandparents in the South and in the North, and they want us to not forget the excellent contributions to our behavior. Our behavior at home, our behavior in the public, our behavior in entertainment that has been affected by such men as Marcus Garvey and before him Frederick Douglass, also the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and many others have made contribution to our improved behavior at home, in the streets, and in entertainment. They have also helped shape our taste and refine our taste for clothing and our taste for food and our taste for entertainment. And we want to preserve that. And we have such men who will dedicate, sacrifice some of their wealth to preserve these theaters, these institutions for us, that we will know ourselves and live better and better and grow better and better into better and better spiritual and cultural form. So we salute them today, too, on this visit to Boston. Percy Sutton, Mr. Percy Sutton, and Mr. Joe Godler in Chicago, and to the persons who I'm not acquainted with them, the persons who are responsible for the Strand Theater being open and functioning in this city. I would like to share with you some thoughts I have on, well, a concept of tree. I've noticed as a young boy that cats would chase birds and sometimes climb up a tree, try to get a bird. And also dogs would chase cats. Sometimes the cat would run up a tree. And the tree is a mercy to the animals, especially to the weak animals. And that's what we need. We need something that's a mercy to the weak. The big cat wouldn't go out on the little limb that the bird was on. I saw a bird just wait on the cat. Like, did you think he was coming? I guess the cat thought he was going to fly away. The bird just sat there and wait on him. And he tried to come out there, and he hit one of those little thin, those light branches, like a switch, and down he fell for a long drop. It wouldn't support him, you know. And I saw once a dog chase a cat. And the cat ran up a tree, and I said to myself, now, he's already out of reach of that dog. That dog can't climb a tree. But that cat looked like he said, he was so afraid of that dog, like he said, I better get out of here. I know he can't manage. The cat went out on a small limb. That's the only support about the weight of a cat. He knew that if that dog got up there, he couldn't be supported on those small branches that he was supported on. And to me, that's the way Islam is. That's the way religion is. If it is really interested in bettering the life of people, religion is like that. It provides for the weak a refuge from the strong. It provides for the weak a refuge from the strong. You can run. You can run to something that if they get on it, it won't support them. Now, you know, if a person is materialistic and all they want is this material world, if you run out on the branch of human kindness, if they come out there to get you, they're going to bump. And their fall may be very, 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 very long. Very long fall. So God has given us a religion. If we live it and practice it, it will protect us from the strong. You don't have to worry. But it will protect us from the strong. We have God as our protector, but we also have our faith as our protection. And if we live this religion, have faith, have keep the faith and live it, that is a protection for us. The strong can't get us. I remember Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he was teaching, saying things that were really very disturbing in this world, or to this world. But because of the good behavior we have and the good loving hearts and minds we have, we were protected. We didn't suffer. We weren't afraid of anybody. We weren't fearing that the Klan was going to come or the police was going to come and storm the place, storm the doors, break in and kill us. We weren't afraid of that. We didn't live with fear. We lived with faith. And we were beautiful in our hearts and beautiful in our spirit and mind. So God's protection was on us. And since the passing of Honorable Elijah Muhammad, we have been trying to learn better what is this religion, Islam. From it, as the Imam earlier speaker said here, Imam Talib, I believe it was he who said that this religion wants us to live the best, be the best, and that's exactly what Islam wants us to be, the best. So when we come into Islam and its best references, fewest references. First, number one reference is Quran. And then the lifestyle of Muhammad himself, how Muhammad the Prophet lived this religion. With those references and with a religion motivating us always and moving us always to be the best, we can be very successful in this world. And we have been very successful following the direction that we find in the Quran and in the life of Muhammad the Prophet. And we have now coming to, I would say, a renewed spirit. We were drooping for a while, beaten down by disappointments. But it looks like we have outlived that troubled period of time. And now I see a renewed spirit on this community, in this community. And it tells me that we are on the way to progress again. Not to any small progress, the dreams of a poor individual, but to big progress, the dreams of visionaries who envision the future for communities, nations, and the whole of humanity on this earth. We're on our way in the road of progress. progress for our community life. This is really a good time for us. God Most High, highly glorified is he says to us in our religion, and follow the best thereof, and follow the best thereof. This is a religion that puts emphasis on excellence. Excellence. It wants us to strive for excellence in everything that we do and follow the best thereof. So if you're given a book and the book asks you to do a number of things or give you a number of guidelines for a better life, don't look for the weakest thing to follow. Look for the strongest thing to follow. Look for the strongest points. And make sure that you don't neglect those strong points. And try to live those strong points. That way, your life will be a strong life, and your life will be a life of excellence. And follow the best thereof. Muhammad the prophet has also told us of God. He says that God has prescribed or inscribed in the nature or in the natural makeup of everything, excellence, excellence. Therefore, if we understand the saying of the prophet, we believe that I am born for excellence. God has created me for excellence. If he has inscribed that upon my very nature, upon the very makeup that he made himself, that's me, if he has inscribed it upon it, then that means it's there before I'm aware of it. It's there before I'm conscious of it. It's a part of me. It is me. It's my life. Excellent. Isn't it wonderful? But the prophet didn't say that God did this just for people. He said for everything. So what did this tell us? This tells us that everything that God made was made, it was made to grow and progress or evolve into more and more excellence. And when we hear of the theory of evolution in our schools, high schools and colleges and universities, when we hear the theory of evolution, we as Muslims, we should want to relate that to the guidance on evolution that we have in our religion called the Quran and the teachings of the last prophet Muhammad. We should want to relate it to that, because here is the secular world telling us that everything, man, animal, even the material world, has undergone or is undergoing evolution or underwent an evolution and evolving. It starts out crude and small, and as it grows and lives, then it grows. It grows out of its crudeness and out of its smallness. That all life was once one cell. And from one cell, it became many cells. And finally into a complex creature like we are, the human being, this human structure, this human anatomy, this human biology that we have, grew from one simple cell to this complicated, very fine machine that no other machine can match. The living human machine grew to be that. And is that against the Quran? God says that he created you from a small cloth, from an alaq. And some of the scholars who interpret this, they say this alaq is a small living thing, like a little small fish-like thing, a swimming thing. They say this alaq is really the life germ. It's the life germ itself that evolves from the simple little thing, creature, that can't be seen by the naked eye, into what you are and what I am, brought up human being. Everything is in the state of evolution, undergoes the stages of evolution until it evolves to where God intended for it to go or to be. This is secular world science, but this is also religious knowledge from the Quran and from other religions if we understand it. So if we are evolving, then we should always agree with that that is promising us a better life and more progress. Because that is our destiny. That is our destiny. That is where God wants us to go. If God is evolving us, then God wants us to always accept to be a little better, to grow a little more, to progress a little further, that he prescribed or inscribed excellence for everything. And what does God say of the community? He says to us Muslims, you are the best of the communities. Evolve for all people. You are the best of the communities, evolved for all people. Think about what is said here. God says we are the best, khayra ummatan, that we are the best of the communities, evolved for all people. This tells us that there are also other communities, evolved for all people. This new nation we call the United States of America, it is a new society in the, among the societies of the world. And we who know something about its history, how it was conceived by its founding fathers, we can agree that this is a society or a community evolved for all people. It admits citizens from all parts of the world. And once those citizens become citizens, they are given the same treatment under the law that all other citizens are given. So this is a country conceived for all people. It was conceived to accommodate all people, people seeking freedom, freedom from oppression, people seeking an opportunity to live a better life, to have more progress for themselves. Not only as individuals, but as communities. The Irish came here because they wanted a better life for Irish. The Polish, the Jews, the Spanish, the Spaniards, the French. All of them except us. We were brought over here for a worse future. But because of the nature of this idea called Americanism, or, well, more correctly put, democracy, because of this idea, we too have benefited in this country. And though they brought us here for a worse future, we have a better future now. I know you will say it's because of Islam and Allah, yes, but also because of this idea that invites all people to come who are denied and persecuted and denied their life they want in other places come here. It's because of this idea too. And we have to thank Allah for that. But we are people who should believe that we are created to progress. We are created to not to stand still, but to progress. We are created not to stay on the same level, but to graduate to higher levels. We are created not to have small things and be satisfied with small things, but to be motivated to have bigger things and better things. This is what we have to believe, just from this one statement. God says he has described excellence for everything. And he also says of the community, we are the best community evolved for the good of all people. What Islam gives us to situate us for the good life and progress is ideas that are powerful. You accept those ideas, you don't have to be a scholar. But if you just accept the idea, if you just believe that God intended this for you, you're going to be better situated spiritually to accomplish more in your life. It's being told this. We weren't no great minds. But Imam Elijah Muhammad, well, he too was no great mind. Not formally. He didn't have any education. He was almost illiterate. Only 3 years elementary school education from Georgia. And you know what that 3 years was back there when he was a boy. Nothing to give any notice to. But he was motivated. He wasn't a scholar, he wasn't a great mind, he didn't have education. But he was told, you are the best, the righteous, the powerful. And he believed it because he thought God was saying that to him. He believed it. And just believing it put him in a better spirit to have a better life, to have a better future, to make progress for himself and for others. So don't underestimate the word of God. It's powerful message. It's potent force. When it comes into your head and into your heart and into your mind, you don't have to be a scholar. I don't think you have to digest it as a scholar digest it. All you have to do is accept it as an ignorant person accepts it who believes in God and trusts God. And it will start to work on your life. It'll start to work on your mind and on your spirit. It'll start to work in your soul as yeast in bread. It will start to rise you up and make you better. Praise be to Allah. So what Islam gives us situates us better to have a good life and to have progress. How does Islam prepare us for global progress? Oh, the globe is too big. I haven't learned how to live and manage my own apartment yet, Brother Imam. Well, let me tell you something. If you get your mind made up to try to live, to have yourself respected on this earth, in the community of men, on this whole globe, I guarantee you that power, that potent force in your head and in your soul and in your spirit, it will grow you up and grow you too big for your apartment. After a while, you'll be too big for your house. You'll be too big for your block. You'll be so big until we'll see you out here representing Boston. Don't think small. Don't think small. Always think big. And if the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had a magic, if he had a miracle, that was his miracle. Talking big talk and getting big results from small people. Allah wants us to know something about our relationships with each other. Allah wants us to know how the value of our relationship with our mate. Man with his mate. Woman with her mate, the man. Allah wants us to know the value of that relationship. That relationship wasn't created for us just to have sexual pleasures. That's beneath most animals. Most animals are also social animals. They're not just sexual animals. They're also social animals. They don't have sex just for each other. They have sex for their children, to have babies. And they realize that once they have babies, then they have to stop putting so much of their investment in just sex. They have to stop putting some investment in the future of their children. Huh? This is the teachings of God to us in our great religion, in the Quran and in other books, if we understand it. So God wants us to know more about the value of these relationships so that we don't think of sex as intelligent people. We don't think of sex just on a sexual level. We think of sex as the foundation, the beginning of something good, something big, something great, and that's the family and society of man. When you look at a flower, as a student of botany or studying the flower, you look at that flower and you see it open up. You know it's sex organs. You can look right at its sex organs. They're exposed. But they don't suggest any indecency. Huh? They're so beautiful. Here God has given us a sign that
I want you to see sex, your sex, like you see a flower. It's a beautiful thing. It should make a contribution to society. Huh? The bees go to the flower, and they help mix the pollen, huh? So that there be germination, growth and multiplying of the flower, that the flowers yield something to the bees, and the bees take it and make honey. The bears like it, and we like it. And its message, its message to our intellect and to our social interests is much bigger than its value in just sweet honey. Yeah. God wants us to see sex in its social role, not just in its physical role. Then we can have more respect for our families. We can have better families. We can have more respect for our relationships, man to woman, woman to man, and have better relationships, better marriages, better families. But this world drums up lust and makes sex funky. Yeah, so you have to fight that. That's Satan's influence. That's the influence of Satan. Want to destroy the social role of sex. So your family is brought down, your neighborhood is brought down, your society is brought down, and all of you living but nothing but for really monstrous pleasure. Yes. Some of the great artists who do satires on the society. They write the whole, they picture the whole society as nothing but a picture of the society of Adam. Monsters. Yeah, because that's how they interpret it. That these people have fallen from the great platform of human excellence. They've fallen from that. And they've fallen to a life that is beneath any normal creature. So their lives now, the lives of monsters. They're living the lives of monsters. We don't want that. We want to live the life that God intended for us, the life of human beings. Now, a man has to also understand the relationship for him with his possessions. Most people can't manage the relationship with their possessions. They will get a new job, a good job. They'll get much more income, and they will have much more material things in their lives, nice cars, nice home, plus furnishing and everything. They will have all that rich environment in the home, but they can't manage the relationship. They can't manage the relationship. For everything, there is a relationship. Science says this and religion says this. For everything, there is a relationship. And you are not going to be left alone and unaffected by that relationship. If you're making $200 a week now, when you start to make $2,000 a week, if you had a problem in your relationship with 200, you're going to have 10 times that problem when you have 2,000. The problem is going to be multiplied, intensified, at least 10 times, you see? So everything, for everything, there's a relationship. And there's one relationship that if you accept, and then accept revealed guidance from that, that God, your relationship with God, if you accept that relationship and honor that relationship, regard that relationship as you should regard it, and follow the guidance that God has revealed, that relationship will protect you from all other relationships. That's what religion does for us. It gives us a protection for all relationships, whether it's with myself, because I have to have a relationship with myself. Some people, you can leave them alone by themselves, and their self will kill them in about 2 days. You have to be able to manage a relationship with yourself and a relationship with your wife and with your husband or with your husband's sister and with your children and with the neighbors and everybody. You have to manage these relationships. And in Islam, we are told that the first conquest and the greatest conquest should be the conquering of your own self. You have to conquer your own self. To tame your own self,
civilize your own self. Refine your own self. Command respect from your own self so that your own self lives the honorable life that God intended you to live. Then you walk in pride. You walk with dignity. You walk with a sense of great accomplishment. The hell, I'm mad at my own self. Then you won't feel the pressure of racism in the air. Say, hell, ain't no white man managing me. Ain't no combination of white nations managing me. I'm managing my own self. God says, we have certainly, God speaking, saying, we have certainly made honorable. That means made noble. Noble in O-B-L-E. Honorable. You know, it's the English that claim nobility more than any other nation. The English has been claimed nobility. He claims it and he hates everybody else that don't understand it. The Irish didn't catch on to that nobility. He put some hurting on the Irish. The Scots, it looked like they couldn't catch on to that idea of nobility. He put some hurting on the Scots, on the people of Scotland. Yeah, he put some hurting on them. You look like a white man, but something wrong with you. I'm going to have to teach you until you learn what this nobility is all about. God says he's certainly made honorable, made noble, every child of Adam. I don't care how white you are, how black you are. According to the language of the scriptures, Quran, Judaic Bible, and also the Quran, Bible, Quran, and the Judaic, the Torah, all of them say the same thing. According to those scriptures, no matter how white you are, how black you are, you're a child of Adam. And God says he made honorable, noble, every, kulli. You speak some Arabic? Kulli means every. Each and every, kulli. Bani, child, descendant. Adam of Adam. God, karanna, God. Certainly, indeed, Karamna, we made noble and honorable, Kulli Bani, every descendant, Adam of Adam. Now, if you let that statement enter your head and you believe it, it's going to enter your heart. It's going to enter your soul. It's going to enter your spirit. It's going to affect your spirit. And you're going to start growing out of your inferiority. Because God said he made you noble. And noble men qualify for all positions in a society. Is that right? That's their history. See, that's not our language. We didn't make nobles and lords. They did. So if you accept that, then you must then walk with pride, not with shame on you. Walk with pride. Say, God, maybe I don't have the education. Maybe I don't have the skill. But God created me to be president of the United States of America, president of this bank, to be in charge of trade or commerce. You have to believe that. We have African-American men and women now in this country moving up into these very special positions that we thought we would never get into. The Dalton Thomases, they said, no, white man will never get into this. But those who believed in their own inherent nobility, they said, the white man doesn't have to let me, I'll get there on my own. We have shown one man so that we who believe in what God has given us. Because God hasn't given any man something that he didn't give everybody.
not in his make, in his natural creation. In our natural creation, God gave us all the same, but it's the mercy of God that gives some of us better situations. Situations are based on circumstances, God. When it says, he certainly made honorable and noble every descendant of Adam. It comes to the idea now in Islam is called Tawheed. And Tawheed comes from word meaning one, just one, O-N-E, one. And Tawheed can be translated maybe literally oneness, oneness, oneness. What it really says is this, that God is one. And upon that fact, or that reality, we must reason then that God's creation is one. That is that
Alhamdulillah, we have reached the end of this broadcast, unfortunately. That was an address entitled Islam's Teaching on Society. We was held in Boston, Massachusetts. I believe the year was 1996. And the message is just as pertinent now as it was then. We should never shortchange ourselves, never think less of ourselves. We identify ourselves by how Almighty God has identified us as honorable, noble, and honorable. Praise be to Almighty God, Allah. We are grateful to those of you that attended to share your Jummah from out of Jacksonville, Florida, the Jummah delivered by our beloved Imam Yahya Abdullah, and we are grateful for the commentary of our beloved Imam Wadisidi Muhammad. Rahim Allah Alayhi, I invite you, if you would, to tune back in to American Muslim 360 at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the broadcast of Community Developmental Stages and also Community Buzz. Community Developmental Stages is hosted by Martha Nyla Abdullah, the Executive Director of the CWSC, the Community-Wide Shura Conference. And she will share with us the second broadcast, Community Buzz. And Community Buzz, it gives information that is shared from local communities, sharing their efforts and their events and their plans for the future. Community Buzz. What is happening? Community Buzz. Praise be to Almighty God. Allah. We are grateful for American Muslim 360 and for all of the volunteers and also the great support that we have received over all of these years. Praise be to Almighty God, Allah. We came to you on this day of Jummah with the greetings of peace. In the Quranic Arabic language, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May the peace, blessings, and mercy of Almighty God be upon you and upon us all. May we purify our intentions, keep our hearts right, remain regardful of Almighty God, Allah, and remain grateful and thankful for what Allah has done for us and what he is certainly doing for us and what he shall do for us. Allah asks of humanity a question from out of the surah entitled Rahman. From the Quran, Allah asked, "Babi ayyi Allah irabikuma tu kabiban." Babi ayyi Allah irabikuma tu kabiban. Which of the favors of your Lord will you deny? So we must be thankful. I bring you now the voice of Abdul-Rahman Hakim. We got to be thankful.
Early in the morning, seeing a friend, Milton's fresh brewed coffee as I stumble down the stairs. Tiptoe by the bedroom where my children used to sleep. 25 years earlier, I still pray my Lord their souls in keep. Grab my keys, grab my hat and I head on out the door. Crank up my old pickup truck, get off the work I go. But I gotta be alright,
gotta be alright,
the best that I can. Try and make a difference, cause that's just who I am. I've gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and let a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful,
gotta be thankful,
gotta be grateful for my life and all the things he's given me that make my life my life. For the warm rays of sunshine, stars that light the night, friends that last forever, and my children and my wife. Now there's a little boy who lives down the street who wants to grow to be a man. But life is rough and the streets are tough and he tries to understand. He say, "Miss, can you help me? Can you lend a helping hand? Tell me why the life's so rough. Can you help me understand?" Well, I think about the days gone by and I think my daddy said, and the wisdom that he shared with me still lingers in my head. He said, "You gotta be alright,
gotta be alright,
you gotta do the best that you can. Try and make a difference in any way you can. You gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful,
gotta be thankful,
you gotta be grateful for your life and all the things he's given you that makes your life. For the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and your children and your wife." Go back to colors and I sing the day's last prayer, asking for his blessing for people everywhere, and our sons and daughters who fight in foreign lands, trying to make a difference for their families. But they gotta be alright,
gotta be alright,
they gotta do the best that they can. Try and make a difference any way they can. They've got to be strong,
gotta be strong,
and lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But they gotta be thankful,
gotta be thankful,
they gotta be grateful for their lives and all the things life. For the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and their children and their wives. Yeah, they gotta be thankful.
Gotta be thankful.
For the warm rays of sunshine, stars that light the night, friends that last forever, and their children and their wives. Say they gotta be thankful.
Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you.